Hi, this is Sedge Thompson. Welcome to this special audio highlights podcast from West Coast Live. For more information about our shows and other guests and podcasts, wcl.org.
Long Long has never seen this, I'm sure. Okay. We're a public radio show in this country, and we throw food once. This is from the center of the Bagel District in San Francisco at 16th of Valencia, Katz Bagels. And we'll throw a high parabolic curve deep into the audience. There you go. It only touched a few hands. Ladies and gentlemen, my next guest is performing at the Zellerbach Hall in UC Berkeley tonight, and it's a great pleasure to have him with us as part of his international tour. He's a Deutsche Grammophon recording artist. He regularly plays with the great orchestras of the world, and today he's with us on West Coast Live. We please welcome a man who has been a pianist since the age of one, two? Two. Since the age of two. He is with us today, Long Long, here on West Coast Live. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Now, I don't imagine you throw food at any of your concerts.
I think I did once. Maybe the Chinese dumplings, you know.
A dim sum or something? Something
like that. With soy sauce, yeah.
No, I never did that.
Never did that, no. Your website has a lot of information about you for people who are curious in your early life, including films of you growing up and films of you commenting on music you play. And this is a great change for a musician. Mm. 20, 30 years ago, musicians didn't have access to multimedia. Mm. And this gives a whole different role for you in the world, not just concertizing, but showing up in people's computers.
I think it's a pretty cool thing. So, you know, you can listen, you can watch and see the pictures and chat and play games. And it's a full picture. Yeah.
And there you are in a film, a little biography of you, as a little kid in Beijing, living in an apartment where it was 0 degrees. Was that Fahrenheit or centigrade?
Centigrade,
so freezing, but nevertheless, freezing.
Yeah. Really freezing.
Really freezing. Bundled up in a warm coat, keeping warm by playing the piano and eating hot soup.
Yeah, that's the only thing you can do. Yeah. You know, it's very cold, and the piano keys are actually quite cold, so you need to warm them up, you know.
I bet. And if you got wet, they'd stick, right? It stuck, my key, my finger stuck to the key.
That's the best way to learn piano, you know.
How did your parents discover your talent?
My father plays Chinese violin, you know. He always played for me. Like when I was in my mother's stomach, I heard, you know, he plays. I don't know. That's what I heard, what he told me, you know. And they bought a piano when I was 1 year and a half. And I listened to Tom and Jerry, not to listen, watch them on television, uh-huh, you know, uh-huh, when they're doing this kind of... And I get so excited because, so, oh my God, look, if the cat and the mouse can play piano like that, you know, I should study that.
That's part of that great heritage of teachers, you know, of Beethoven to Czerny to Tom and Jerry, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Tom, Jerry, and to Mickey Mouse, whatever.
When you played and discovered, were your first notes like cat and mouse on the piano?
The first note, obviously, is middle C, right?
Right.
And if you put the wrong finger, you got, you know.
One of the things that you're famous for is just the sheer exuberance and joy you demonstrate when you're playing. And it's visible on your website. For instance, in doing the Liszt variations on Mozart's Don Giovanni. Uh-huh. There's an exuberance and joy and, I mean, physicality at the piano. It's like the piano is like a trampoline you're bouncing around on. You're having...
The thing is this, this depends what piece you're dealing with.
Sure, of course.
And then if you're dealing with bad guys like Don Giovanni, you know, and you need to be bad too. So that's why you try to destroy a piano, you know.
You try to destroy it, yeah.
Yeah, or making a big fan of it.
Where is home for you now?
Now I live in Philadelphia.
That's a long way from Beijing.
Yeah, but I only stay there like 1 month a year. Yeah, something like that.
Which month?
I don't know. It's like I count in day or hours sometimes. Yeah.
Well, let's hear a piece if that's all right with you. What would you like to do here?
I think I'd like to do something not so fast yet.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So let's do it the Liszt. Also, by Liszt, but it's Love in the Dream. Yeah, but now we are already in the daylight, but still, you know.
All right, Lang Lang. You could just hear the kind of the collective sigh there at the end from the whole audience here. Just kind of, ah.
Thanks, Liszt.
That was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. How do you keep all that in your head?
Music, when you read, it's music, right? But when you play, it's like a movie or like images. It's like when I play, I have some kind of pictures in my head, you know, whether it's live picture or still picture, or it's in America, in China, or in Europe, or in Mars, or in the moon. You know, there's something going on there. And also, sometimes I feel the colors, and sometimes it's blue, red, and black, and you know, it's moving, and it's also really moves.
Something we call synesthesia, where there's a number of senses that all come together in a way.
Yeah, I think in the future, I really like to do it when one play the piano. There should be two screens. It's like opera, you have subtitles. And one screen should show the hands. Because sometimes in a big auditorium, like 2,000 or 3,000 seats, you couldn't see the hands, actually. So one actually should have a big screen only for the hands. And another one is like art creation, like to show what you think in your mind and to show that out, you know, on the other big screen. And then that's really should be pretty cool, you know.
But you know, that's a wonderful idea to be able to truly see in the artist's head. I know though that, for instance, some actors when they're in a play, and they're doing it for the 500th time, they're going through their lines, but really they're thinking, what should I have gotten at the grocery store today, mm-hmm. you know, and. That would be interesting to see, too, in the play. It would be kind of a meta-text.
Yeah, what am I going to do for lunch, you know?
Yeah. Will those flowers still be there when I get back to the green room? It's
too gruesome, you know.
But I like that cohesiveness of the vision. That takes Wagner even a step further. I mean, it's more than music drama. It's music and performer drama.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Whatever you call, yeah. Whatever.
How do you select a program? Is it a matter of pacing, of rhythm, of emotionality?
It's a balancing, you know. It's a really for me. I like to have kind of the big picture, which include the classic pieces, some Baroque music, and then at the same time should have of course romantic music. It's a part of majorities, and then also should have some folk music. Since I'm from China, I like to do some Chinese music, and also. The new contemporary music, and then it's hard to fit everything together. It's like you mix a fruit smooth, you know. But then you need to make sure that whether strawberries works well with the bananas, you know, and then you cannot just mix apple and some vegetables, you know. That's a little hard to mix. So that's
well, apple carrot juice is a kind of okay.
Yeah. But thinking of eggplant with apple.
What do you think? Point taken. Do you speak to the audience at all between pieces?
During the encores, yes. Uh-huh. Because, you know, in the real recital, maybe in the beginning, I like to be more serious, you know. that's the fun time because for the encores, you know, eggs are dessert, yeah.
But, you know, I think the whole course seems satisfyingly and sensually attractive and pleasurable. You know, the whole meal that you put out.
You need to have some like main dish, like a, you know, real thing, and very serious and really structured, you know. And then you should have something like in between, like in French food or in Italian.
So tonight, what's your entree? What's the main dish?
My entree today, I think, is the Chopin Sonata number 3. Uh-huh. And then the second entree is the Liszt Hungarian Rhapsody number 2, the Horowitz transcription. But then appetizer is Mozart Sonata. And then something like in between the first entry and the second entry, I have a Schumann Kindersinten, since from childhood.
Yeah. And that's just for a palate cleanser, clear the cleanser.
Yeah.
You know, you've come to the right place, California, where we take food and music seriously.
I know, yeah, I absolutely understand that.
Yes. We have time for one more piece, if it'd be possible. What would you like?
Flight of Bumblebee.
Oh, all right. Thank you. Lang Lang. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
And then he just flew out the window right there.
I think I got a bumblebee. I mean, I don't know whether I catch it, but maybe I ate it.
Thank you very much. Lang Lang, here on West Coast Live, and tonight he's at the Zellerbach in Berkeley, part of the Cal Performances series. For more information about the fine series of performers they have coming through, it's calperfs.berkeley.edu, and you can find a link to it as well on our website at wcl.org. Lang Lang, tonight at Zellerbach. I think there was one ticket available for tonight's show left. Maybe
well,
two,
so
I don't know.
Be.
I mean,
right.
Outstanding. So, how's the piano? I mean, he took that out for a spin.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, the piano here at the Phrase is just fine, but it's, you know, it's not a 9-foot Steinway concert grand. But the thing about great piano players is they make piano sound good. And he made the piano sound really good. So,
well, you know, I think every piano player makes this piano sound really good.
Well,
you
how
make
sweet
it sound
of
really
you to say
too.
That. But,
yeah.
But it is something I noticed that, you know, good piano players can make, even out-of-tune piano players, they can make music on it because they're musicians. You know, they're making music. It's not typing.
Oh, you could have had me fooled.
One of my favorite lines of all time.
Don't you wish you had a delete key sometimes there? I don't know.
One of my favorite saloon stories is Mike Lipskin, who's a stride piano player town, was playing at Washington Square Bar and Grill, and someone came up to him and said, while he was playing, and said, you know where I can find any jazz? And Mike said, well, as soon as I finish typing this letter, I'll let you know.
That was what a treat to have him play the piano today.
Fantastic. So.
You're listening to West Coast Live today from the Freight and Salvage.
This is Edge Thompson. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Try out others from West Coast Live right here, and we look forward to having you in one of our audiences one day. For more information, wcl.org.